Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. And look at verse 4, he says, when you read it. You know what we know about God's Word? What we know about God's Word is what we've read. You know you can't believe what other people tell you about God's Word? Isn't that sad? I hate that's not the case, or that is the case. I hate we can't trust people when they tell us what the Bible says. You know, people have all kinds of ideas about what the Bible says. And a pastor might mean well when he teaches those things, but the problem a lot of times comes along when that pastor is just regurgitating what he's been taught and is not spending the time in the Scripture studying what it says. But being taught, you know, I grew up with some ideas about what the Bible taught that the Bible didn't teach at all. And yet they were pushed to me that that's the Word of God. And anybody that didn't believe it was a heretic. You know, maybe not even saved if they don't believe that. But if we'll read the Bible, we know what it says. And Paul says, when ye read, ye may know and may understand my knowledge. He said, there's only one way I can make sure you get it right, and that's to put it down where you can read it and read it again until you understand it. And if we'll read the Bible, I always say begin in the book of John, finish that, go back to Matthew and read through Jude, then go to Genesis and read through Revelation. Just a good order, a good walk through the Bible. And we get an understanding of what the Bible says. And when we read it, every time we read it, we find stuff that we forgot. We read it before, but maybe we weren't paying attention that time. We need to read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. I need to read the Bible. Not just in preparation for your Sunday school class or your vacation Bible school or a sermon, but we prepare. We read the Bible so it can prepare our hearts daily. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Finish it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And we read it and we read it and we read it and we read it again. And sometimes when we read it, we say, that's not what that used to say. Right? Anybody ever do that? That's not what that used to say. But that is what it always said. It doesn't change. God said, I change not. His word doesn't change. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Right? And so, verse number 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It was not made known, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It's incredible that we are alive today, number one, to have been alive in Paul's day when he is after Jesus' ministry. So Jesus had his ministry, started the church, got him organized, got him going. Came to Paul, said, Paul, you're going to be part of this. Got Paul involved. Gave Paul understanding and revelation so that he himself would understand directly from God what to do, what to teach. But he says this, he says, but you know the stuff that we know now, they didn't used to know that. Isn't that incredible? They didn't used to know that. And now in the New Testament times, having the Spirit of God as children of God, to have the indwelling of God himself so that we don't have to be ignorant of his purpose or ignorant of his will, ignorant of his knowledge. He said, I will what? I will pour my Spirit upon them. I will write my law upon their hearts and their minds. So we have God's Word because we have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. We're so fortunate. We're so blessed to be alive now. And now we're looking at the other end of that age, of what we call the church age or the Gentile age. And we're at the other end of that. And we're not as close to the crucifixion and resurrection as we are to the rapture. We're so close. And we talk about this stuff. We're so close. Marching and marching ever so close to that end time. And we don't know when it'll be. I know it's shocking to many of us that it hasn't already occurred. It's going to get worse, and I'm here to encourage you. It was not made known, but now it's revealed. Verse number 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You mean that Gentiles, that non-Jews can worship the God of the Jews? Yes. By the way, let's go back a bit. There was a certain woman that lived in Jericho. What was her name? Rahab. There was a certain woman who came back from Moab. What was her name? Could she worship God? Not only could she worship God, but they could be great, 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 great grandmas to Jesus. Not Jews. Not Jews. It was never exclusive. But God got his message. He started, of course, we go to Abraham, and he said, I'll bless all nations through Abraham. And so, yes, it was through Abraham. Abraham was the funnel for that faith. He was the funnel for that blessing. He was the funnel for that truth. Isaac and Jacob, all of the descendants, they were the funnel of that. They were not exclusive. They left Egypt. And what were they instructed? Anybody wants to go can go. Anybody wants to go can go. They could always worship God. They could always be saved. When they got to Gilgal, even the non-Jews could be circumcised. You see, they were all, God never locked them out and made it exclusive. He was always embracing anyone who would come to him. And now, Paul says, they didn't know that. It was like a mystery, even though it was written. It was there. But we act like we don't know. He said, non-Jews can be saved. They can be partakers with the Jews. They can be part of the same body. They can be fellow heirs. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. And by the way, if you go back up to verse 6, those last three words, by the gospel. What's our ministry? By the gospel. What's our message? The gospel. How do people get saved? The gospel. How do we get people to church? The gospel. How do we offend people? Same thing. Same thing. The gospel. If they trip over the gospel, that's their fault. That's the message. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. That he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose the third day and ascended to the heaven and is on the right hand of the Father. The gospel. Whereof I was made a minister, verse 7, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Paul is, look, he's not putting on, he's humble. He looks around and he sees people like Timothy. And even John Mark and Barnabas and Silas, and he sees these guys and he says, it didn't take as much to get them saved. Paul was such a rebel against God. He hated Jesus. He hated the church. How many of you got saved because God shone a light at the middle of the day and blinded you and called a voice out from that light that said, why persecutest thou me? None of us. Paul looks at his situation. He said, it took too much to get me saved. He said, I'm the least of the least. I don't deserve it. He's not putting on. He means it. I'm the least of the apostles, the least of the saints. He says, or less than the least. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? And to make all men see. That's his desire. I want everybody to see it. You know, the way that we should live our lives is so that everybody can see Jesus in us. The way we love our spouse, see Jesus in us. The way we love our children, see Jesus in us. The way we love our parents, see Jesus in us. The way we love our brothers and sisters and neighbors and friends and strangers and enemies. Not that we would have enemies, but we might be their enemy. And the way that we love them and treat them. What did Jesus say? Turn the other cheek. Now, some would say, well, he meant turn the cheek and they could slap the other one. But maybe a better understanding of that text is he means turn and go. Get away from those jokers. But just don't be around them. But just be Jesus to the world. He says that they may see, to make all men see, verse 9, what is the fellowship of the mystery. Look, here it is, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. From the beginning of the world it hath been hid. Anybody in here have a metal detector? Anybody in here ever had a metal detector? All right. Somebody called me the other day and said, you got a metal detector? And I said, I don't. I wish I did. It'd be kind of cool to have one. What do people do with those things? They search. They search. They're trying to find treasure. Sometimes they're trying to find stuff they lost, right? But they're trying to find some treasure. As the world is looking and looking, and they're looking in a bottle, and they're looking in a pill bottle, and they're looking in the, you know, somebody else's bed, and they're looking in shiny things, and looking in adrenaline, and they're looking in big careers, and the limelight, and popularity, and applause, and they're looking in all, they're trying to find the answer. And all the time it's been hidden in the same place. All the time it's been in the same place. The answer is in God. It from the beginning it has been hid in God. What? What's been hidden in God? The fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship, that is to walk with God. How do we understand about life? How do we understand the purpose? How do I know what I should be doing today? What I should be doing with my life? How I should love my neighbor or treat everybody? Walk with God. You say, Pastor, that's not a big mystery. And why don't more people do it? Why are even Christians wondering about the purpose of our lives and wondering where the joy of life is? Even Christians, even church people, dare say even pastors, lost their joy. Why? They got away from God. Started walking. Oh, that's a religious walk. But they moved away. They got away from God. And the answer is hidden in God. We've got to be with Him. We've got to walk with Him. We've got to talk with Him if we're going to find it. See, if we want to enjoy and understand, we must seek the answers in God, in our fellowship with God, to discover the purpose and to find the fulfillment. I just don't feel like I'm doing what I should do. And people call the pastor and say, I don't feel like I'm doing what I should do. Okay, but you're calling the wrong guy. Talk to him. Talk to him. God, what should I be doing? But you know, here's the funny thing. Some of you may have seen this because I posted it last night. So it was a guy that was leaving work. Y'all saw this. He's leaving work, and he got by the security guard. And he had a little box of sawdust in a wheelbarrow. And the security said, what's in that box? And he said, well, it's just sawdust. And he says, well, can I open it? And he said, okay, it's sawdust. And so he closed it back. He said, okay. Next guy, same guy's leaving work. Has a wheelbarrow, a box with sawdust in it. And the security guard says, well, what's in the box? He says, sawdust, just like yesterday. He said, I got to check. So he checks it. He said, okay, it's sawdust. He lets him go. Third day, same guy, walking with a wheelbarrow, little box of sawdust. And the security guard says, okay, you got me. He says, I know you're stealing. He said, I won't even turn you in. What's in the box? He says, sawdust. He said, tell me what you're stealing. He said, wheelbarrows. That's pretty good, wasn't it? Not my joke. I found it somewhere else. But here's the point. Here's the point. The point is we overlook the obvious. We're focused on the box. We're focused on the dust. And we overlook the wheelbarrow. Guys, we're looking for the answer in all the wrong places. You want to know where the answer is? Get alone with your Bible. You want to know where the answer is? Get alone in prayer. That's the answer. Talk to God. You say, well, I don't know what to talk about. Then talk about all these other people that we just named in prayer that need our, you know, need our prayers. They need God to touch their body, so pray for them. You don't know what to say. You'll spend an hour just talking about the people in our church and their friends and family. We're so busy looking for the answer in the wrong place. The eternal purpose. Look at verse 11. According to the eternal purpose. What is the eternal purpose? Verse 10. That to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What does that mean? It means that the church should know the mind of God. Go back up. He said something in verse number 8. He said the unsearchable riches of Christ. We ought to know the heart and the mind and the purpose of God. But in order to get that, we've got to pray. In order to get that, like he said, we need to read. In order to do that, we've got to try it. Because you'll never know if God's way works if you don't try it. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Boldness and access. Isn't it great that we could just talk to God anytime and he listens? Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees to the Lord, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Because that's where the motivation comes from. In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Love for who? Love for God. Rooted and grounded in love. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height? What does that mean, Paul? He said, you know, the problem with some people is they're looking for the answers instead of just looking at what's right in front of them. I am not opposed to people being missionaries around the world. I'm for it. But you know, we've got a lot of mission work to do in this country. We've got a lot of mission work to do in Quincy and Cairo and Leon and Jefferson and Wakulla. We've got a lot of ministry to do right here. So we need to be busy. We need to be missionaries. We need to be ambassadors. And Taylor, I didn't mean to leave them out. But, yeah. He said that Christ may dwell in us and that being rooted and grounded in love, we may be able to comprehend who God is and what it's all about. Love. Our love for God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I like that part. He can do more than we can imagine. How many of you have a good imagination? Right. Not as good as God's. I mean, look at God's imagination. He made a baboon and a giraffe. He made both of them. He said, hey, let's stretch that. He made a horse and he said, let's stretch the neck, see what that looks like. A zebra and a tiger. God can do all that stuff. What an imagination. What can God do with us? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Where does he get his glory? He ought to be getting it from us. We are the ones to be praising him. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. And we pray that you will do a great work in us this week. That souls will be saved, that lives will be changed, that hearts will be refreshed. Give us rest, not only for our bodies, but for our souls. And hear our prayer. God, we love our church, each and every member. Those that have been named in prayer and those that are unspoken. And we look to see your hand in their lives and show us what we can do. In Jesus' name.